Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Later this hour, we'll talk about how President Trump's order barring certain types of diversity training is being felt in Illinois. But first, depending on where in the state you live, you may have one or two or dozens of judges to sort through on your election ballot. Though they're first elected with party labels, after that, Illinois judges run for what's called retention. Very few judges lose retention elections, but every 2 years, there are organized efforts to target certain jurists for removal. Last week, I spoke about this with reporter Carlos Ballesteros of Injustice Watch in Chicago and Chris Kergard of the Journal Star newspaper in Peoria. But because the U.S. Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett preempted our live show, the only people who got to hear that conversation, aside from me, our engineer and producers, were those who caught it on an evening rebroadcast or on our podcast feed, which, by the way, you can subscribe to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at 21stShow.org. But I digress. Because the conversation was preempted, we thought it was worth replaying now, so here it is. I began by asking Carlos, just what is a judicial retention election?
Yeah, so a judicial retention election is exactly what it sounds like. It is a judge hoping to stay on the bench for another term. Here in Cook County, it's 6 years. And instead of running against someone else, judges who have already won their seat and on the bench are now running against their own record and asking the electorate to put them in position again for another judicial term.
Yeah, so there's no opponent, no party labels. It's just, shall the judge be retained? Why should voters care about retention elections? It's probably the most skipped question on the ballot, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, judging from my own voting patterns, before I took these things seriously, yeah, it definitely was a section I skipped over too, or just filled in randomly. But retention, I mean, judicial elections are incredibly important for reasons obvious and reasons not so obvious. You know, I think judges have incredible power over people's lives and can decide whether or not someone goes away to prison for decades or someone doesn't go away to prison for decades or any other litany of decisions that are made every day by judges in the state and in your county. And the fact that we have the power to vote in who these judges are is an incredibly important one, and one we should take seriously, and one that we should leverage in every way possible to kind of shape our county and our state the way we think they should be, you know, the way we think they should be. And it might seem a little daunting at first. I know for folks in Cook County who have gotten their mail-in ballots, it's a page and a half or two pages of judges on your ballot. And so it does seem a little intimidating and definitely a lot of effort to look into each one. But we at Injustice Watch think it is very much worth our time to know about who these judges are, what they stand for, and their records, and whether they should stay on the bench.
Yeah, and we'll come back in a little bit to some of the ways that voters can, using the Injustice Watch resource or other groups which rate judges for retention. And let's come back to that in a minute. But I want to also come back to some of the specific, more interesting retention fights in Cook County. But first, Chris, I want to bring you into the conversation. So we heard Carlos talking about circuit judge elections, which are 6 years. Of course, appellate and Supreme Court judges are 10 years, and there's a big fight happening in central Illinois. Can you tell us what's going on in the 3rd Judicial District?
Absolutely. And Justice Tom Kilbride, who's been on the bench since winning election in the year 2000, a partisan election in the year 2000, he ran as a Democrat. He defeated Carl Hawkinson, who ran as a Republican, and has been on the bench since. Justice Kilbride faced a very organized effort to try to deny him retention in the year 2010, his first shot at retention. And some of the argument there came down to issues over whether he was too soft on criminal issues, in some cases too hard on businesses or too beneficial to unions. And he defeated that effort to deny him retention in 2010 somewhat comfortably. And in doing so, it was, as I said, an organized campaign with some of those groups raising hundreds of thousands of dollars against his retention, and he ended up pulling in millions of dollars, or his campaign fund, there's a key distinction there, pulled in millions of dollars that was used in advertising to argue in favor of his retention.
Yeah, the distinction being that judges claim that they are not aware of their fundraising and don't pay any attention to it, and that's handled by other people. You know, Chris, you know, typically in these high-dollar judicial retention fights, what the opponents choose to focus on publicly is often not what their real objections are to the candidates. And you mentioned this idea of soft on crime. In fact, we have a little tape. John Oliver satirized this very point back in 2015 using an ad from Kilbride's last retention fight. Let's take a listen.
While political attack ads can be aggressive, judicial attack ads can be downright horrifying.
I was convicted of stabbing my victims with a kitchen knife.
Of shooting my ex-girlfriend and murdering her sister in front of our child.
Of sexual assault on a mom and her 10-year-old daughter. And I slashed their throats.
On appeal, Justice Thomas Kilbride sided with us.
Over law enforcement or victims.
Oh my God. Good luck getting back into whatever you were watching after seeing that commercial. Sheldon and his friends are going to have to get into some pretty wacky mishaps to wipe the memory of that away. Now, what those evil shadows are saying sounds awful, but here's the problem. None of those three men were actually set free by Judge Kilbride, but in each case, he merely questioned the legality of procedural points in their trials, which is a judge's job. But there's no room in campaigns for nuance. That's why you don't see bumper stickers reading, "Justice is complicated, requiring the sublimation of our baser instincts, which, though difficult, is the only thing that separates us from the anarchy of beasts." Kilbride 2015.
All right, so Chris, that was from Kilbride's 2010 retention election. What kind of attacks are the anti-retention folks using this time?
Yes, this time it's interesting because it's not about crime that they're arguing he shouldn't be retained, but in fact some other fairly complex issues that are really being boiled down to partisan questions. In particular, opponents are focusing on his vote in a case that came before the court in 2016 regarding whether or not a proposed constitutional amendment should go onto the ballot for Illinois voters, on whether or not to change the way that political maps are drawn in Illinois. Kilbride was part of a 4-3 majority that ruled that it fell short on some constitutional questions and improperly included elements from an entirely separate article of the Constitution where voter initiative is not permitted.
So a very technical sort of legal argument that basically came down to Kilbride was in the majority, say that Governor Rauner and others had favored this idea that they want to take redistricting away from the majority Democrats in Illinois and give it to this nonpartisan idea. And he said that their effort fell short of that. I mean, it seems like redistricting is probably at the core of what the objections here are, right?
Precisely that. And of course, the other element, which we're seeing all around the state in all sorts of campaigns, which is the question of whether or not there are ties to House Speaker Mike Madigan, who is phenomenally unpopular downstate and had donated money through not only some of his political organizations in Kilbride's initial race and his 2010 retention, but allies of Madigan who were also involved in those races, and unions, which opponents try to tie to Madigan in this race, have donated money to Kilbride for his retention, and opponents are arguing that there is too much connection there to the House Speaker, and that in both the redistricting case and in a separate pension case and in some others, that Kilbride has voted in favor of issues that benefit either Speaker Madigan or the Chicago Democratic political machine broadly. Of course, Kilbride's argument in opposition to that is first that it's very easy to cherry pick a handful of cases out of the roughly 1,800 that he's been involved in deciding on the bench. He also argues that some of these are distortions, citing, for instance, the pension case that opponents also are using to argue against his retention. Also a 4-3 decision from 2015 regarding whether or not a law was able to eliminate the ability for some people involved in unions to have one day of work in as a teacher and qualify for a teacher pension.
Yeah. And that pension case you mentioned, I mean, that was a unanimous decision. That was the one safeguarding or saying that Illinois state teacher and state employee and university employee, full disclosure of which I am one, that those were protected by the Illinois Constitution. You know, it's interesting to me that this particular retention race, and I'm going to move on from this now, but it seems to me that it is saying the quiet part out loud, as we've heard so much recently, right? Past ones, oh, he's soft on crime, or when the trial lawyers got together and tried to take out Justice Carmeier in Southern Illinois, it wasn't really, we don't like the way he rules on our cases, basically. But now they're really just saying, like, yeah, he's a Democrat. You know, he was elected as a Democrat. He's too close to Madigan. We want to oust him so we have a better shot at the maps. It's fascinating to watch, and we will continue following this election. But Carlos, I want to bring you back into the conversation now, because in Cook County, there are several judges who have been targeted for defeat. Can we start with Michael Tooman? Who is he? What's happening there?
Right. So Judge Tooman, and again, for all your listeners who want to know more after this conversation, they can definitely head out to injusticewatch.org/judges. We have a very detailed compilation of research on each judge, including Judge Tooman. But quickly, yeah, Judge Tooman, head of the juvenile division here in Cook County, and recently was opposed for his two things happened. Sorry, a judicial accountability PAC here in Cook County opposed his retention bid, and Judge Tooman was also dropped by the Cook County Democratic Party, which historically has always called for the retention of every judge in the county, or at least every judge aligned with the party in the past.
And some people have pointed to his ruling in the Jussie Smollett case, appointing the special prosecutor there, right? And say that some are arguing that this is the Democratic Party seeking retaliation against him for that.
Right. That's what Judge Tooman, that has been, the argument on that side, that this is in political retaliation. But the Judicial Accountability PAC, which is lesser known, obviously, than the Cook County Democratic Party, they also refused to endorse Judge Tooman for retention, and they cited his record in the judicial court and the juvenile courts as having stood against some reforms that this PAC, this Judicial Accountability PAC, which is made of lawyers and activists and community leaders, thought that, would be beneficial for juveniles going through the Cook County judicial system. So politics, maybe, but also other stuff in politics.
Yeah, and then there are a couple of judges in so-called judge jail who are also up for retention, who want another 6 years from voters. Can you just briefly remind us who they are and what's going on there?
Yeah, and this is reporting from my colleague John Seasley. But yes, so there are two judges that are placed in what's called judge jail, which is essentially like just being placed on administrative duty while being a judge.
Not literally locked up, just sort of benched, right, exactly. or not benched, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So the two judges are Judge Mauricio Araujo and Jackie Portman Brown. I should mention that Mauricio Araujo resigned after facing three accusations of sexually assaulting or abusing female co-workers of his. Throughout the years, he faced a disciplinary hearing about the matter. And before the rulings came out on that, he decided to step down. His name will still appear on people's ballots, but essentially a moot retention election.
Yeah.
And the other Jackie, judge plays,
yeah. Oh. I was just saying Jackie Portman Brown. People saying? Yeah, go ahead.
So Jackie Portman Brown, she got placed in judge jail because she placed a child in a kind of like a holding cell behind her courtroom for a little bit. And that was against the rules, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously, but it was against the rules. And once that news came out, she was placed in administrative duty. But her record is also highly contentious and is spurring a lot of debate among progressives and others in the county who see her as a tough on crime judge, and she's called herself a tough on crime judge, a lock 'em up judge, I think is how she described herself. And that is, you know, being brought under question amidst this reckoning with racism and the way the judicial system systemically targeted and more severely punished people of color. Mm-hmm. And so her record is also being scrutinized heavily by outside groups.
Well, like we said, if people want to learn more about this, they can go to injusticewatch.org. The Illinois State Bar Association and some other bar associations also have ratings and explanations and recommendations on this if they want to research more on their own about this. And unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for time today. Carlos Ballesteros is a reporter with Injustice Watch in Chicago, and Chris Kiergaard is associate editor of the Journal Star newspaper in Peoria. Thank you both for being with us this morning on the 21st.
Thank you.
Coming up on the program after a short break, President Trump recently barred certain kinds of diversity training. We'll talk about how that's being felt in Illinois, including a conversation with a man whose speech at a community college was canceled, and with experts in such training about what works and what doesn't. That's all coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.